Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 10 years from today, Lisa Schneider will trade in her office job to become the leader of a pack of dogs. As the owner of her own dog rescue, that is. A second act made possible by the reskilling courses Lisa's taking now with AARP to help make sure her income lives as long as she does. And she can finally run with the big dogs. And the small dogs, who just think they're big dogs. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
Hello, friends, and thanks for downloading another weekly episode of the Money Girl Podcast. My name is Laura Adams. I'm a personal finance expert and award-winning author based in Austin, Texas. I've been producing this show since 2008, and I'm really glad to have you along with me today. Last week, we covered 5 places to invest after you max out a retirement account. If you missed that episode, be sure to check it out. I think it will really help you prioritize extra money, no matter how much or how little extra you have, and make the most of it. If you've been enjoying the show, I have a very quick request. And we're going to be talking about requests a lot in this episode, so I want to make one right now. My request is this. Let me know if you're enjoying the show. The best way to do that is by taking a minute to submit a quick 5-star review on iTunes. It helps the show stay visible so more people can find us, they can join the Money Girl community, and ultimately live richer lives. So I'll thank you in advance for that. I'm super excited about this episode, which is 518, called How to Negotiate for More Money, Even When You Hear No. To see the notes for this episode, or to listen to the complete archive of Money Girl podcasts, it's always on the Money Girl section at quickanddirtytips.com. I mentioned that we're going to be talking about requests and negotiating today, and I love this topic because I think too many of us are completely clueless about when, where, and how to negotiate. What often happens as you get more experience is that you get a really bad deal at something, whether it's at work or in a partnership, and you find out about it later on when it's too late. You realize that you were being underpaid or that you got a ridiculously low contract simply because you said yes and you didn't ask for more money or you didn't make a counteroffer. If you've ever wanted to earn more money in your work life and become more confident about your communication and requests to get what you want, this show is for you. I can tell you from experience that becoming a better, stronger, and more frequent negotiator is one of the most powerful ways to transform your income and financial life. Yes, hard work, grit, and luck always play important roles in your career, but an often overlooked ingredient to success is your ability to negotiate in the workplace. If you don't know what's possible or you fail to make your value visible, you could be missing out on a lot. The bottom line is that if you don't look out for yourself by negotiating, no one else will. So today, you're going to hear my interview with Kelly Gushue, founder and CEO of Personal Finance Warrior. She's a very sharp finance expert and speaker who got her undergraduate degree from Harvard and an MBA from the Booth School of Business at the University of Chicago. We discuss key points that everyone should know about negotiating. Here are some of the topics we cover: how gender differences impact how we negotiate, the best way to respond when a potential employer asks your salary history or what you're currently earning. We talk about the right way to ask for a raise or promotion, and why hearing no can actually be a good thing. We talk about where to research what your salary range should be for your location and industry, how to get benefits you want even if you're turned down for a salary raise, 5 steps to structure a negotiation that gets past no, and why leveraging another job offer can be the key to making more money. All right, let's get to it. Here's my interview with Kelly. Kelly, I'm so glad to have you on the show. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Thanks, Laura. I'm excited to be here. Well, I have a finance background. I've been working in finance the last 15 years. I've been a research analyst. I've been a financial advisor. And most recently, I was working in portfolio construction. And what I realized is that I saw in the marketplace that women really weren't doing enough with their money. And I saw this from personal experience, from my colleagues, from conversations with my female friends, with my mentees. And I realized that this was a problem. And as I looked around, I kept waiting for somebody else to step up. And I realized that I had the background in the training, and this was something that was important to me. And so I decided to step up, and I launched a dedicated business focusing on teaching women how to invest. And in particular, I focus on the education piece. And so I provide online courses that teach people how to invest. And negotiating is one of the key parts of my program. And Laura, I'm excited to talk about some different strategies today about negotiating, because that's one of the ways that you can put money in your pocket right away.
Absolutely. And I think even if you are a business owner, self-employed, if you're an employee, no matter your situation, kind of getting your negotiation skills to a higher level is going to benefit you in so many ways. So if folks are listening who are not employees, they're going to get a lot of good tips out of this information. So I'm super excited to talk about it. I think this is an area where so many of us fall short. And it really just comes down to the fact that you don't know what's possible if you don't negotiate, right? I think that's ultimately why it can hurt us if we're bad negotiators, or if you just become complacent with your situation, whether it's in the workplace or with a client or a partner. If you don't know what's possible, you're not probably maxing out your situation no matter what it is, right? So this is so key. And I think for young folks coming out of college who are just starting, it's super important, because we know that if you don't get as much as you're entitled to in that first job, that can kind of create a domino effect where the next job and the next job, you're chronically underpaid, right? So getting that first negotiation is one of the most important, and it can be really scary because people are approaching it for the first time. So let's talk a little bit about some situations when you think employees, let's start with employees in particular, when should they negotiate?
People should negotiate all the time. And I want to encourage people that it's a mindset. And it's about, I like to share with my audience that it's about making requests. And when you think about it as making requests, then you're having a dialogue and you can just continue to make requests. And I like to say that you will actually want to get to a no. So you might get to a no right away, or you may make requests and then until you get to a no. So let's give an example. So let's, with a fresh graduate negotiating for their first role, often they're given even more of a narrow salary range. So let's give an example of, say, maybe the salary range is between $40,000 to $45,000. And often the manager may say $40,000. So first of all, you're often really excited for that job, and your knee-jerk response may be to accept right on the spot. So first, you want, actually always want to make sure you take at least 24 to 48 hours to think about a job offer. And sometimes they ask, can you accept this job offer now? And you want to make the request, I would appreciate if I can think about this for 24 hours. And in that 24 hours is when you think about the strategy for negotiating. And what, if you have the range, how do you get to the upper end of the range? And what I also recommend is ask for that 10% increase, whatever your first offer is. You always want to make a counter offer, or negotiate and ask for more.
I have seen this go go on you know, both sides, being the person making the offer and the person accepting the offer, I can tell you almost 100% of the time, employers are not going to offer the full amount that they would pay, right? I mean, there's typically always a little bit of room there, even if it's just $1,000. In a lot of cases, it could be tens of thousands of dollars that employers would pay in addition to what the offer is. So I think if people just come into that with the mindset of, hey, of course they're trying to negotiate with me. And, you know, in a lot of cases, if you can come back with a counter offer, I think that also puts you in a bit of a more elevated position in their mind. If they think, hey, this is somebody who is willing to stand up for what they want, they're strong and they're knowing their value, I think it does elevate you in their mind. But in a lot of cases, I think the initial reaction is to think, oh, I don't want to ask for more. I don't want to seem pushy. I don't want to seem like I don't appreciate this offer, right? But in a lot of cases, that can backfire against your ability to get more.
Yes. And Laura, that's why I like the mindset of making a request, so that when you make the request for the salary increase in your counteroffer, they can come back and either say yes or no. And if there's a no, then that's a good thing. It means that you've reached the upper bound, and this is the offer. And I'll share a personal example. I was in a training program and I was told in advance that it was a set salary level. And when they gave me the offer, they, in a way, often when they're excited about an employee, they ask if you can accept at the moment, at the time. And I always say to people, always request at least 24 hours to think about it. And what I did was I made the mistake. I accepted on the spot and then joined the training program. A month into it, the manager came to me and said, wow, I was really surprised you didn't negotiate. And I appreciated from a mentorship perspective, she was sharing this. And she said, because you left money on the table. And I said, oh, my understanding was that there was a set range. And she was the one who said, Kelly, usually there's always room to negotiate. And I want to plant that in your, you know, in your mind. And what the implication of that was it was a $10,000 difference. And that training program was for 2 years, and my bonus was based on that salary. So I missed out on thousands and thousands of dollars because I followed the rules. I thought there were set rules. And that's another thing, is when you're in the mindset of always asking and always thinking about, is there a way to negotiate? I would have asked, and even if she said, no, we have the set range, I would have received a no, and I would have realized that that's the limit. Instead, Laura, to your point, you don't really know unless you ask. I left money on the table. And so that's the risk, is leaving money on the table. So you actually want to make a request. And if you get a no, then you know that you've reached the limit, which is a good thing, a positive thing.
Right. Yeah. You've pushed the envelope perhaps enough to where you are getting what you feel is your value. And even if you are not able to get more money, in a lot of cases, you may be able to negotiate some other benefits. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. Kelly, let's take a short break and we'll be back to talk about more negotiating tips.
Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Money Girl is sponsored by Claritin. If you're like me and you suffer from allergies, you know this time of year can be pretty rough. There's a lot of sneezing, itchy eyes, congestion, and they can really hold you back from living the life you want to live. Luckily for those with allergies, you can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. This is a product designed for serious allergy sufferers. It's got two ingredients in one pill that relieve allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combo of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant relieves all the symptoms that you suffer. And what I love about Claritin D is that it starts working in as little as 30 minutes. Plus, it's non-drowsy, so you can still make the most of your day. I can take Claritin D and then get on the mic and record a podcast without being too congested. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Use as directed.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 10 years from today, Lisa Schneider will trade in her office job to become the leader of a pack of dogs. As the owner of her own dog rescue, that is. A second act made possible by the reskilling courses Lisa's taking now with AARP to help make sure her income lives as long as she does. And she can finally run with the big dogs. And the small dogs, who just think they're big dogs. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
So what happens, Kelly, if you are in a situation where you're negotiating for the first time, or maybe you tried to negotiate and you hear a no? How do you handle that? Or do you have any tactics or tips that we can use to approach that conversation and that mindset that you need to get past no?
Sure. And to share a couple of points about even just when you hear a no. So men and women have different responses to a no. So first, a man typically will ask at least 10 times before he hears a no and actually shifts strategy. And women have a different response. Genetically, women often, if we think about that, fight, flight, or freeze. Women often freeze, because we're relationship builders, and genetically, that's how we often respond. Where men in this fight mindset, their minds actually get sharper. And so I want to just acknowledge that there's a response when you actually hear a no. And what it means is you just have to find a way to work through the no. As I said, I think it's a positive when you get to that no. You want to continue to make requests. So if you ask for a salary range or a certain amount and there's a no, the next question is, what are some of the other benefits? And this may be time off. This may be certain key projects you could work on. This could be, for some people, working one day from home. So some creative ways to think about some benefits and some untraditional benefits that you can discuss if you hear a no with a dollar amount. In my previous role, I thought that my manager was going to give me the green light to travel for conferences. And it wasn't till we were in our annual meeting that I mentioned something about travel. And he said, oh, of course you could go to conferences. Just please make a written request. And I thought he was going to give me permission. And I could have, from the time that I started, made a request about a conference. And again, it was, I did not make that request. So often it is about you making that request and making different requests. So if you hear that no about one aspect, continue to make requests about other benefits that you identify as important to you, to continue to work through, like, what is an agreement that is a win-win for both sides.
Yeah. And so that's so key to remember that it's not just about money. It's about all of the benefits that you're getting in your job or in your relationship with a partner. So you mentioned a few really great ones. I mean, things like working from home, you know, getting more training, getting equity in the company, maybe getting a bonus or a higher bonus. There are all kinds of opportunities to improve your situation that, you know, may not have to do with money. money. Hopefully there, you know, hopefully there is a number associated with it to make it more profitable for you. But in a lot of cases, as you mentioned, going to a conference, getting training, those things can be really, really valuable, setting yourself up for your future career and maybe the next job that you want to get after the one that you're in now.
Another idea that I recommend is, if especially you may get a no because the company or the division may not have the budget. That's often a situation we encounter. And I recommend creating a project with your manager that is above and beyond your day-to-day job, that you identify that adds value. Ideally, maybe it either generates revenue or helps to cut costs, but at least adds value to the division. And you identify that project, and for 6 months, you target that as that's going to be the project that gets you the next promotion or the next bonus. And you have that specific conversation with your manager. Your manager has agreed to be your partner in this. And then at that 6 month mark, you have that project, that success story, and you have that dollar amount in mind, whether it's that salary increase or that bonus. And you then can then say, here's the project. We discussed this bonus or salary raise. And that's a way to be working towards a goal, to work through that no, because it'll be really difficult for them to refuse again when you have created this project and you have that target in mind. So I'm also an advocate that you have this communication with your manager and think about them as a partner in this negotiating process. And Laura, to answer your question about what I see as the structure for a successful negotiation, really a few steps. So first is that you have the business metrics that, or the numbers that are valuable for your particular role. So for example, my previous role, I was in a client-facing role. So the number of business meetings that I had was an important metric. For some people, there may be a revenue component. There may be a cost-cutting component. It just depends on what are the metrics that are relevant to your role or as part of the team. You just want to have some numbers to talk about and some specifics. Second is there is often a salary range that you can look at from external sources for you to see what's your range in your role, based on your geography, based on your industry. And you can then see how does your company benchmark to that external figure. We have figures like Glassdoor that provide this information. There are several different websites that provide this information. And that's helpful information to share with your manager. Here's the information that I found on my salary range. How does the company fit in with this salary range? And the third one we've talked about, which is negotiating other benefits.
How can we kind of further continue to show our value and, you know, give ourselves a little bit more leverage in a negotiation?
So I recommend that when there is that response that we have a budget freeze or we have a limited budget, I suggest creating that key project so that you have that 6 month time frame and you have that partnership with your manager. And it shows that you're committed to that salary increase or that bonus. If after 6 months, they're not able to find that bonus money for you and you're providing value, it might be you need to look externally. And often what a final step is, I have 5 steps to negotiating past no. And the 5th step is presenting another offer. You may need to go to the marketplace and see if there is another job that fits your skill set. And when you present that, then your company will decide especially if you've done that 6 month project and you've shown value, then they're often more likely to find that funding somewhere.
And I do often see, unfortunately, many times that the only way to increase salary is to go to another company. There are a lot of companies that just may not come up with the additional budget to pay you the salary that you want or that you, you know, you feel that you're worth. And if that's the case, it really is time to find another opportunity. And in most cases, that's your biggest opportunity to really get a big increase in pay. So that's something that I think we always need to be thinking about, you know, keeping your resume up to date. And as you mentioned, those metrics, not only having those for your current company, but also having those ready to present to a potential new employer. So, Kelly, when you begin this process of negotiating for the next opportunity, in a lot of cases, employers or potential employers will ask you, you know, what kind of income are you looking for? How much money do you need to make a move? How do you respond to that in the right way?
And that's where I go back to the doing the research on what is the salary range for your industry, for your location, to ask for that. And this information is supplemented by talking to peers and colleagues in your industry and asking them what their salary range is so that you really have a more realistic idea of what that salary range is for your region and location. And then once you have that information, that's the base for the conversation. And the salary range, you often want to present your two or three skills that are directly tied to that role that put you at that upper end of that range.
I think we feel a pressure sometimes to sort of fess up to what we're making. And there's no law that says you've got to tell a new employer what you're making. You are completely within your right to just say, I'm not at liberty to discuss that, or I'm not willing to discuss that with you, but I feel confident that we can come to a reasonable negotiation, or we can come to a reasonable agreement on what the appropriate salary should be. Giving a number in a lot of cases really boxes you in and can limit your potential. So in most cases, I would recommend not discussing your previous salary if you can get around it. Kelly, thank you so much for sharing your tips and advice about negotiating. I'll have more information about you and your programs at lauradadams.com/Kelly.
So great. Thank you so much, Laura.
I loved having Kelly on to talk about negotiating. Let's review 5 tips to ask effectively and negotiate even when the answer is no. The first is show business metrics. So what are you providing? How are you doing in your job, or how is your team doing? What are you contributing? The second tip is to know your value. So research what your salary range should be. Number 3, negotiate other benefits like more vacation time, perhaps, or working from home. Number 4, develop a plan for a key project. So what is it that you can contribute over a 6-month period that will really boost your value and set you up for that raise or promotion? And number 5, present another job offer. When all else fails and you're not getting that raise or promotion that you want, it may be time to leverage another offer to make sure that you are in the place where you should be going forward. If you want to learn more about negotiating or working with Kelly, visit lauradadams.com/Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, lauradadams.com/Kelly. Thanks so much for downloading this show. Keep listening, learning, and leveraging your resources to grow richer every single day. That's all for now. I'll talk to you next week, courtesy of Money Girl, your guide to a richer life.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.